T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's high noon in the A, baby, and it's a Wednesday, and it's football season, and that means Dave Archer, former NFL quarterback, former Falcon, former CFL quarterback, and former Iowa State quarterback, joining us here in just a moment. And, John, I want to try to start with an early take-me-deep moment. So let's check in with Mark Owens. There's a picture out of the stud shirt that I'm wearing to the holiday party later on today. It's generated a lot of conversation. I sent a picture of it to Charity, mm-hmm. and she said, what did she say? She said, you're real sexy. So that made me feel good. I have not heard that from anybody here at 92.9.
Mark said the same thing about you.
That's a good thing. But let's check out the poll. You know, yay or nay on the orange and purple Paisley holiday party shirt.
Can I do some housekeeping real quick?
Yeah.
Yes.
All right, hold on. Let me hit this real quick.
Tell them the name they say is running the game.
WZGC and WZGC HD1 Atlanta. This is 92.9 The Game.
I just had to get that in.
Okay, that was cool.
No, they're working on some new imaging in the background, so we got to get the legal in before
I like it.
All right, let me get to it. So our poll at Rick and John 929. Go give us a follow, and you can see Rick's shirt right now. So the way we had to do it, you can't officially put a poll up with a picture. So we have Rick's party shirt. You hit like to love it. You hit retweet to vote no. And as of right now, 33 likes, mm-hmm. people that love it, 10 retweets of people that hate it.
Right.
However, you also have 15 comments, people saying like, Daddy F-Bomb says, we had shirts like that in my high school jazz ensemble back in 1980. that Steve McCollum says, that looks like something super preppy dorks wear that overdress at the Clemson games. Well, that's just mean.
Wow.
Jameel Garrett says, John Travolta Saturday Night Fever landing pad for acid users. Well, come on.
Okay.
Don Cherry would approve. Is that a Mike Myers shirt? Yeah, baby. Edward DeGry says, my brain can't accept this. Thank you for knocking me off my 20-year sobriety kick. Well, we apologize.
Yeah, damn.
That Chant says, that looks like a shirt my grandfather would wear. But Rick does what he wants.
There you go.
Rajan says, a night at the Roxbury? Looks like you should be in Boogie Nights. Carl Fuller? Nah, hell no. But his autocorrect says, nah, hell no.
Okay.
You're the man, beautiful Rick. Rick is the man. My grandmother has the shirt, but yet it's a scarf. I like my grandmother, so I'll give you a yes.
That's a good one.
That is awesome.
It's scarfish, right?
Yeah. Well, this guy on the wayforward.com hotline.
He's seen the shirt, John.
He's laughing in the background right
Arch, you want to take me deep on my stud shirt?
Well, I just thought that was a good comment on the yeah, either a grandmother's scarf or that was one of the napkins I had at Thanksgiving that was on the table. Yeah, it's a Ricky Martin autograph. There's no question about it. So, I think if you got a couple of chains and you can unbutton it, if HR allow you to unbutton it down to your belly button, you're going to have a pretty good work this afternoon.
He'll look like Paco Rabanne if he does that. Hey, we've got Arch right now on the wayforward.com hotline. He's heading to Flowery Branch. He stopped in here a little bit to do some work behind the scenes, and now he's up to Flowery Branch to do some work in front of the scenes. Let's get right into it. We'll get back to Rick's shirt before we let you off the line. Big win in Tampa, not what fans really like, but Arch, to go 2-0 against a division foe and win on a Monday night game, what did that mean to the Falcons?
Oh, it's huge, John. It kept you in position to do what you want to do, and that's really what this is about. I've gone round and round with some people on Twitter about, and I'm not sure what this whole style points thing is, or maybe there was a perception of what they thought this team was going to look back in 2017 because of what happened in 2016. I don't think there's any question about that. And we all maybe had a perception of what might this team look like. Well, it's a little bit different. You're much better defensively than you were a year ago. And maybe your signature is your defense this year as opposed to last year when your offense was your signature. But I think your offense is doing enough. You got enough weapons to make plays. And I thought your documentation of what Pittsburgh has done, I think a lot of people would think Pittsburgh is a Super Bowl contender. And look at the way they've navigated their schedule with the single-digit wins or one-score wins that they've had. And you just move on to the next week. And yeah, it was a wounded Tampa Bay team, and I said it on the radio. I give those guys a ton of credit for the pride and heart they played with. But Atlanta found a way to win the game, and now you move on. You're 9-5, and you're in a perfect position to win your division if you take care of business the last 2 weeks.
Arch, by my estimation, there were 10 big boys in NFL football that handled their business over the weekend. You can point to Jacksonville. You can point to the Rams. You can point to the Vikings. Many teams, the Patriots, handled their business. I put the Falcons in that group, even though it was a game, by my count, with 5 drops and 7 bad balls by Matt Ryan. Even with that, I felt like we handled our business like a big boy because we won that game with power running and defense. Are you with me?
Yeah, I would agree with you, Rick. I think that you, if you're a good team, you find a way and find things that go well. Like, to use the lack of a better term, use a golf analogy. Remember Tiger Woods at the Memorial shot 63 on a Saturday, third round of the tournament. They said, Tiger, you're hitting the ball well, playing great. He says, well, really, all I had was a punch shot. So I had to play a punch shot all the way around. He shot 63. That's what this team is doing, is they're finding things to happen that they can hang their hat on. And the defense has been good enough to allow them to do that on offense. No, it hasn't been clean. It's been struggles. But as you look across the landscape of the league, that's kind of the way it is. You find a way to win that weekend and then go take on the circumstances you have the following weekend. But I would agree with you, Rick. I think it's a team that finds the way, and there's a clutch gene in there somewhere. I know you can appreciate that. You talk about that all the time. There's a little bit of a clutch gene in this team. Let's see if it transpires over the next couple of weeks.
Arch, let me ask you this, and this is something that has been brought up on Twitter. Is this team battle-tested, 6-4 in close games, or are they just not very good?
Well, I think you're battle-tested. You're a team that we just talked about it. You find a way to win close games. If you're not playing your best, can you still win? They've done that here late in the season. They didn't do that early in the year. They found a way to lose a couple games when they weren't playing their best. Maybe they, you know, when you start talking about playing your best at the end of the year, maybe you learn something about yourself, about how to win those games from a play call standpoint to a clock management standpoint, personnel standpoint. They're finding a way to win those games. And so I like the fact that they're battle tested. This is going to be a hell of a battle come Sunday.
No doubt about it, man. Dave Archer on the WadeForward.com hotline, hanging out with your boys, Rick and John. Let's talk Devontae Freeman. He tilted the machine. He was epic, but there were 2 fumbles, and there was a big drop ball at the end of the first half. So break down his game, Arch. Was it like the mistakes get totally washed away because of how big of a game that was, or is there a little bit of a concern with the sort of dropsies that he had in that game?
No, I think you're concerned. Now, let's start with a concern first. Remember, he took a big hit late in the New Orleans game and laid the ball on the ground. And Ryan Schrader recovered, or somebody late in the game, to allow us to preserve that win. So he's laid the ball on the ground 3 times via big hit, three times in the last 2 games. So you're concerned about ball security, no question about it. Now, his play, he was the difference in the game. 194 or whatever it was, total yards, both running and receiving the football. He's a nightmare matchup. He's a lot like we're going to see from a guy that's coming up. Alvin Kamara is a similar guy. You got to defend him out of the backfield, catch the ball. And so if you're Sark, you got to keep that rolling. That's the Devontae Freeman we saw last year. He was a guy that was running it and catching it. Now if Tevin could come back off concussion protocol, now you got 2 of those guys. You have to use those guys in that capacity. I've been talking about it. Get those guys the ball out in space. They're so elusive. But then Devontae's ability, as you said, Rick, to tilt the game a little bit. And what he did was, it's a physicality that he plays with. And I know all of us get scared about it because he's had some concussions. But this guy was playing with a ferocity and running with an anger that really kind of fed his entire team, and certainly the offensive line fed off of it.
Arch, obviously a huge one. Sunday, 1 o'clock, you'll hear it right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Going down to New Orleans, a place they don't like us, and we don't like them. Have you seen some of the hokiness that the Saints are trying to do for this weekend? Mike Triplett, who does reporting down there, said there's basically a challenge from the Saints. They're going to hand out large rally towels, and they're encouraging fans to be in their seats for the start of the third quarter. There's also an online petition right now trying to get the Saints to have Reggie Bush lead the team onto a field with a baseball bat like they did against the Cardinals back in 2010. Do you feel like they're trying to manufacture something against us?
Well, there's no question they're trying to manufacture some type of atmosphere, and I don't really think they need to. I think the Saint fan is a hell of a fan when their team's winning. Now, we know what it looks like when they don't win. But when they do win, it's a fan base that is behind their team. So I don't think they need to manufacture anything. And by the way, Reggie Bush has a lot of time on his hands, so carrying a bat into the stadium might be a good thing for him. Maybe he needs some work, so that would be a good deal for him. But I'm not worried about that. This is a team in Atlanta that plays well on the road. I think they thrive in those environments, and it's going to be a great environment. You and I get a chance to be there. I've played in this game before. I don't like the Saints, and as you said, they don't necessarily like what comes from Atlanta either, so I'm looking forward to it.
Dave Archer hanging out with Rick and John here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Pretty amazing that the New Orleans Saints became the first team since the 70s to have two running backs make the Pro Bowl team. And speaking of that, Arch, you know, you've got Mac, Pro Bowler, Julio Jones, a Pro Bowler. Should there have been somebody else on offense? And should there have been a Deion Jones, a Keanu Neal, a Grady Jarrett? Was there a snub, a Pro Bowl snub for our Falcons?
Well, I think that Deion Jones certainly was a guy, Rick, that you point out probably should have been a guy that was considered. I mean, I'm sure he was considered, but you only took two inside linebackers. The two guys they took were Kuechly and Wagner, so you can't really argue those two guys. But Deion certainly has a Pro Bowl type year. You might say Grady Jarrett probably deserves some consideration from the interior. I thought he was outstanding. Now, if you get caught up in the numbers of our sacks and all that kind of stuff, Grady was disruptive. I think his peers would agree that he's one of the more disruptive interior defensive linemen. On the offensive side, you might have been able to make a case for Ryan Schrader's done some good stuff at the offensive tackle position. But really, I'm not worried about our Pro Bowl guys. We got a couple guys in there that will represent, but let's let the Saints play on Pro Bowl weekend. We'll play the following weekend for the whole thing.
Love it. We got Dave Archer on the WadeFord.com hotline. Of course, we beat the Saints a couple of weeks ago, 20-17, in a very tight nip-and-tuck game. Alvin Kamara was out during that game. He got knocked unconscious early on. I think we've seen what he's capable of, Arch. How much does that change the defensive game plan if he's in there?
Well, Kamara's a problem. He's a lot of problem, much like Devontae Freeman is his ability to catch the ball out of the backfield and run it. This is an outstanding screen team, one of the best three-count screen teams in the game. Maybe you could say they're the best three-count screen team, where they bleed a back out, get some linemen out in front. Both Kamara and Ingram are outstanding in that capacity. But Kamara's ability to displace himself from the backfield, split out wide, or come out in motion and then run option routes, he creates a problem. And it'll be Deion Jones that'll draw the assignment against Kamara. But, you know, shame on – one thing that nobody's talked about is one of the guys that I think is one of the best game day coaches and adjustment coaches in the game, and Sean Payton – had no answer for Kamara going out of the game. And that would be disturbing if I'm him, because those two backs aren't as interchangeable like the Falcon backs are. If Freeman's out, Coleman's going to step in, and it's going to be a very similar game plan, and vice versa. And even Terrell Ward can do those things. But when Kamara went out of the game, it looked like Payton had no answer. He tried to put Lewis, the receiver, in there. We know that Ingram can't do the same things Kamara does on the perimeter. So interesting. It'll be interesting to see what Payton does to adjust his game plan, because I think he got caught up emotionally in the game from an officiating standpoint and then had no answer for the Kamara injury. I guarantee he learned a lesson in that game a couple weeks ago.
Arch, John and I have been debating over the last couple of days and with callers a moment ago. John says if Oklahoma gets to 30, the Dogs lose that game. And he's saying, you know, the Dogs want to play in the 20s, which I agree with, but I think in theory and in reality are two different things. I don't think they're going to limit Baker Mayfield. But so my final score is 41-31. I think the Dogs can win, even giving up 30 to the Sooners. Are you with John or are you with me?
As much as I'd like to disagree with you, Rick, I agree with what you're saying. I think it's going to be a high-scoring game. I think Georgia can win a high-scoring game. I think it's going to be different, John. When you look, I don't think Baker Mayfield is going to be – I think they're going to be able to get him off the field some. But as much as Georgia wants to talk about how good they are on defense, they haven't seen an offense like this one. This is as good offense. You got a two-way go running the football with a quarterback that scrambles and make plays. He's got a good enough arm where he can make plays down the field. He throws great on the run. This will be a different animal that they're going to face from an offensive standpoint. But I think Georgia will be able to play. Will play at a fast pace, because I don't think Oklahoma can stop their runs. I look for Georgia to have two running backs over 100 yards in the game, And I think they're going to have explosive runs. I'm talking about 60, 70-yard touchdown runs against Oklahoma. So I think the game will get escalated from a score standpoint, but I think it's going to be a lot like what Rick's talking about, where it's 42-31, 42-35, and I think Georgia wins it.
All right, Arch, we've been talking about Rick's stud shirt today, and it's up at Rick and John 929. What's a go-to look for Dave Archer when you're going out?
You'd have to go way back in the day, and the stuff I wore way back in the day, the thing that Rick has got on right now probably would have worked back in the 1980s. So I don't do that much anymore, John. I know that you're kind of starting to step away from that as well. So whatever we've got in our closet, let's just reside to the fact it ain't working this now. So let's go ahead and just stay at home and let the young guys take care of that stuff.
So Razoo's on Saturday down in New Orleans as we get ready. We got to pounce in there and see if we can find our guy that was doing all the music for us when we were there last time.
Absolutely. We're going to Razoo's. Maybe Journey will show up. We could do a little set with Journey like we did last time we were there for the Super Bowl. But you know what? That's New Orleans. We can wear whatever we want to in New Orleans. We don't care what those people think.
That is true. Arch, be safe heading up the Flowery Branch. I know the rain's coming down, man. We'll talk to you over the weekend.
Hey, good job, guys. And happy holidays to all your listeners. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to everybody. Hope guys have a very safe and fruitful holiday. But more importantly, enjoy your families, man. Really enjoy your families.
Well said, Arch.
Do that. Dave
Love
Archer.
You,
our guy on the wadeforward.com hotline. Really good stuff with Arch. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Guess who's playing against the Falcons in Week 17? Boy, the NFL really put their foot down on this one. We'll talk about that next in the NFL Bounce on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
All right, here we go. Let's bounce around the National Football League in the NFL Bounce brought to you by Cobb County Kia. Stop by and test drive their new 2017 Kia Sorento. John mentioned it. The NFL has made a ruling here. They have dropped Thomas Davis's suspension for clocking Devontae Adams in the dome. It was a dirty hurt, but at the same time, Devontae, you got to have your head on a swivel, bro. But nevertheless, from two games to one game, and John, that means that Thomas Davis will be suiting up at Mercedes-Benz Stadium Sunday, December 31st. It says here on the schedule, 1 p.m. I would bet quite a bit of juice boxes that the Falcons and Carolina game will not be at 1 p.m. I have a feeling it's going to be, John, earmuffs at 8:25 p.m. on Sunday Night Football.
I will give Mike Conti a lot of credit. Yeah, he is trying to figure out something for our wives to do. That'd be Bo Morgan's wife, Amy, Mike's wife, Leanne, my wife, Urania. You know, they're the ones that, unfortunately, we have to work. Okay, I get it. We've got to go to work, and it's part of our great jobs. I will never complain about working my job. It's like guys that have to work Christmas Day on the NBA. Guess what? You work in the NBA. It happens.
Here's the flip side of that. Everybody's watching.
Right.
So that's actually good news for you as a broadcaster.
Yeah, I don't know how many people will be listening that night, but if it has a game with utmost importance of trying to win the division, there will be people tuned in right here to 92.9 The Game doing their pregame. They're the ones that have to make the ultimate sacrifice. So my wife now is going, all right, we've gotten our kids to go out of state for the time. You know, we've had time to ourselves, and now she's trying to figure out, go out with my friends, hang out with me. I may even get her a ticket to the game, and then that way at least when midnight hits, we can do the sappy couple thing there at Mercedes-Benz Stadium.
If you're a Falcons season ticket holder, and this came in as a tweet to us at RickandJohn929, guy said he spent about $150 on New Year's Eve party tickets. He's a Falcons season ticket holder, originally thinking the game was going to be an early game, so we bought New Year's Eve party tickets. So what do you do if it gets flexed to the late game?
I'm going to the party.
What?
Going to the party.
Dude, if it's a game for the division,
I can watch
you're out
the
of
game.
Your mind.
I can watch the game getting ready, and I'm going to the party.
Why don't you go to the game and then go to the party after the game?
Because by the time you get out of there, it's going to be after midnight. And the whole point of going out New Year's is for that crescendo of 10-9-8-7-6-5-4-3-2. Boom, it's 2018.
That's not the point for me. The point is to catch a gnarly buzz.
Yeah, I could do that anytime.
Do that the night before.
I say we could do that after we get off work today.
Okay.
Oh, actually, I'm not allowed.
You don't even have to twist my arm about that.
I got Bed Bath & Beyond.
If you have too many drinks and look at Rick's shirt, you're going to get nauseous.
You're going to get vertigo, right?
It's not a good thing that I want. Yeah, but I love the fact that the NFL really put their foot down on that one.
I think they got it right, though, John. Two games at this point. Two games in September, I thought would have been too strong for this. And I understand Preachman's brought up the point he's a multiple offender this year. I totally get that. look, I got to ding you a game. I got to send a message through the league that hits to the head like that aren't cool. Come on, bro. We got two games left. Mm-hmm. You can't suspend a great player like Thomas Davis for the rest of the regular season. You can't do it.
No, I understand it. The problem is all these suspensions now, they just come across as very soft and paper-y. Because you say, oh, we're suspending the guy for this. And then after they appeal, all right, well, we're actually only going to suspend him for this. So how about just make the suspensions what they're actually going to be?
I have no comeback on that, John. You're right. They should. It should have always been a one-game suspension.
I'm not mad that Thomas Davis is playing one way or the other. Thomas Davis is one of the consummate professionals. We've gotten to know him. We like him. He's going to be a thorn in the Falcons' side in a game that we're going to need to win to try to win this division. But we've got to take care of stuff this week first. I want to go back to this real quick. We just mentioned it with Arch. The nonsense that the Saints are trying to do, not even nonsense, the fact that they're trying to make it, you know, we're giving out rally towels and you need to be in your seat and maybe we bring Reggie Bush back. You know what that tells me? Tells me you're scared. All the false tough talk bravado that comes out of New Orleans, you're scared of the team coming to town. We beat you when we played a C-minus game. I don't want to hear about penalties and injuries. We played almost as bad as the Falcons could play and still win a football game. That group is nervous. They've lost three in a row to us, and they now go, oh, boy, they're going to ruin our Christmas. No presents under the tree with the Florida E for anybody when we lose to the Falcons.
Why don't you clip that off and send it down to New Orleans? Sean will be real popular down there.
They don't like me anyway.
No free meals for John when he heads down there. I don't necessarily agree with you, but I want to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't necessarily think the Saints are scared of us. I liked it, though. It was a very homerish, fanish riff.
As it should be.
I liked it. Let's talk about this, John. Aaron Rodgers, shut down for the season. He's been put on IR. We talked about this yesterday. It's a no-brainer. When you told me that Green Bay doesn't even have a 1 percentile chance of making the playoffs, you have to sit Aaron Rodgers. Mm-hmm. You just do. So this is a buzzkill for fantasy owners, John. They went without Aaron Rodgers for, what was it, 7 or 8 weeks. You get him back. He had a decent fantasy game. Not great. It was dirty with 3 interceptions, but I think he threw 2 or 3 touchdowns, too. In the championship game, oh, yeah. No. You cannot play Aaron Rodgers. Hopefully, Nick Foles was picked up by you, and you can just skirt him right in there.
We'll ask that question on Fantasy Football Friday because I have a dilemma at quarterback, and it does involve one Nick Foles, but we'll get to that later on in the week. It's not surprising that Green Bay did this. You now have nothing to play for. Aaron Rodgers probably wasn't 100% healthy. They probably pushed him to get back only because they stayed in the playoff hunt. Well, by virtue of Atlanta's win on Monday night, they're no longer in the playoff hunt. When there's nothing to play for, no need to put your franchise guy in harm's way.
So hold on a second. You're telling me that officially it was the Falcons win. So yep. We knocked Green Bay out of the playoffs.
Yep, that was the official death.
Shout out to my boy Jimbo Allen, director over at NBA TV. Huge Green Bay Packer fan. Take that, Jimbo. You know, he's always talking about shining up their 4 trophies and all that. So I have to take opportunities to talk a little smack to a Pack fan.
You know, I love fans that do that. I get it. Your team's been great. What does it do for me this year? Like, if we're having to talk about this year's team, we have 6 Super Bowls. Dude, that's awesome. As a franchise, you're better. There's no doubt about it. You're 7-7 this year, and you lost to Atlanta for the 3rd straight time. So you're not better
right now. You're right, John, but I will say this. When you drop the multiple championship card versus we have none, it kind of sort of ends the conversation. Kind of like on Inside the NBA. When Shaq and Charles are getting into it, and all Shaq has to say is
4.
Mm-hmm.
And Charles doesn't have any. I'm talking about championship rings. It kind of ends the conversation. And what it does is it gets Charles ist and snarky, and he starts firing back. It's great.
Here's the thing. It ends the conversation. But what the hell does the 1966 Green Bay Super Bowl, like if we're talking about this year's team, we're better.
With
your
boy Bart Starr.
Yeah, like what does that have to do with anything? It doesn't.
All right, John, let's play a little game here. Ready for a little game?
Yeah, I love games.
Jeff Fisher,
who
authored up
7-9 BS.
There you go, John. Yeah. Way to take the setup. Yeah. All right. He wants back in the NFL as a head coach.
Yeah, so do I.
Okay, so I took the time to run through the 32 teams. These are the 9 teams that are going to or might make a change. The Jets with Todd Bowles, the Bengals with Marvin Lewis, the Browns with Hugh Jackson, they've given him a vote of confidence, but you never know. Bill O'Brien with the Houston Texans. Chuck Pagano in Indy is gone. Dead man. Vance Joseph at Denver, I don't know. To me, he's one and done. I don't think it's working out. Bob McAdoo. Ben McAdoo up with the Giants. John Fox of the Bears. And Dirk Cutter of the Buccaneers. I got nine guys that will or could lose their job. Do any of those scenarios to you fit for a Jeff Fisher?
No. Jeff Fisher shouldn't have been in the league the last 10 years that he was in the league. He's one of the most mediocre longevity coaches in the history of the league. I think Todd Bowles keeps his job, by the way, because he has overperformed. The Jets were supposed to be 1-15 bad.
I'm going to call my shot right now. Jeff Fisher will be the next head coach of the Indianapolis Colts because I think Jim Irsay is large. I can't call him an idiot. The guy's a billionaire, okay? But he's kooky. He's nutty. He's eccentric, and he may just make a decision like that to go with a old-school, recycled guy who has a resume. It's not a great resume. I'm calling my shot right now. I think Jeff Fisher will be named the Colts head coach.
I disagree. I don't think Jeff Fisher gets another head coaching job. If they do, the GM probably needs to be fired shortly thereafter. The track record's been there. Paul had to live through like a decade of Jeff Fisher. You think the Rams fans aren't happy that that clown's not their coach anymore?
Let me agree with you. I don't think he should get another gig. I'd rather take a shot with a hotshot coordinator and see if that worked out, you know, a la some of the coordinators that have done very well, like Dan Quinn. I would take my shot with that rather than go with a recycled Jeff Fisher. I'm just saying that I think Jim Irsay will go with Jeff Fisher. And we'll see how it plays out.
We'll see how that goes. Boy, if Andrew Luck, you think Andrew Luck wants to play with Jim Fisher? Or
no, he doesn't
Jeff Fisher.
He doesn't want 7-9 BS. He doesn't want that. And by the way, like, exhibit A for not giving Jeff Fisher another job in the NFL is Jared Goff. That's exhibit A. With him last year, Jared Goff didn't look like an NFL player. Now with Sean McVay, he's a borderline Pro Bowler. So that's a terrible look for Jeff Fisher.
Yeah, he's a guy that he was really good 20 years ago when he was good early on in his career in Tennessee, and he's never been good since then.
He was a part of the 85 Bears defense, though. Best defense in NFL history.
Yeah, but what part was he?
I don't know.
Yeah,
he's the guy with the broken leg that ended up being a coach on the sideline.
Yeah, there you go.
Wasn't Richard Dent, I could tell you that much.
Or Singletary. No, or Wilbur Marshall.
He wasn't any of those guys.
Or McMichael. What a defense, man. I love old footage of the 85 Bears. Dude, if you got a field goal against them, you were kind of happy about it.
Ask Arch about playing against the 85 Bears. It wasn't fun. And that's when they played on the old AstroTurf at Soldier Field.
And it's 5 degrees.
Yeah, I think Arch played early in the year, but I'm pretty sure he got bounced off the turf a few times by the 85 Chicago Bears. Not really all that good.
All right, M.O., get on the mic here. Give us the news.
It doesn't warrant breaking news, but it is
official. I think
official.
It does, but
this
that's okay.
This does warrant breaking
news. I don't think this would be a mortal sin.
Can I give you both of them?
Yeah.
Okay, hold on.
Hit us.
This one, because if I do both of them and it's not officially breaking, Sean gets mad. So.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Breaking news.
Followed by...
This is fake breaking news.
Because everybody knew. Anyway, Justin Fields officially signed with Georgia.
Let's go.
He put pen to paper, dotted line, it is official. I don't know why some people were freaking out saying, it may not happen. I don't know, they've been recruiting him pretty hard elsewhere. He's already flipped once, he may flip again. But nope, it is official. Justin Fields with the Dogs.
Where did he go to high school?
Harrison High School, Hoya Hoya Saxa. Don't get me wrong, class of 2018, that's going to be impressive. Class of 1997, that rocks.
The only one class has a guy that works for the Braves and hosts a tool race. The other one may have the number two recruit in the country. But
the guy can throw a football around or something. I don't
know. Forget the Napa cap.
Corey Patterson went to Harrison. Adam Everett went to Harrison.
Yeah.
Our buddy Rich. Toucher and Rich up in Boston.
Yeah.
He went to Harrison.
Are they still our buddies now that they're up there?
Are we still family?
That side, yes.
We're still officially family.
We're okay with them. We're good with them. It's the other clowns on the other station who aren't family anymore. That's what they get. From the Bible, coming up next with Preacher Man.
What did Marlon Man have to say to Derek Jeter at the town hall meeting?
He dropped the mic. Maybe we'll do that as well on 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 90 The Game.
All right, it's From the Bible time. And Preacher Man, last night, I must admit, it's not a Tell the Truth Tuesday, but I have cried while watching NBA TV the last two nights. Monday night was Kobe's jersey retirement ceremony. Mm-hmm. I didn't cry like blubbering. It wasn't like that. However, my eyes were moist on Monday night with the Kobe jersey retirement. Okay. And then last night, my eyes got moister because there's this show on, and it's on at 3:30 again today on a re-air. It's called Players Only Monthly. Isaiah Thomas and Magic Johnson sitting even closer than me and John are right now talking about the past. And they have a come to Jesus at the end of this one-hour show that is very simply the most dramatic thing I've ever seen in TV. In terms of two people, you saw decades of feeling some kind of way come to a head and be squashed at the end of this show. Epic stuff. It was mesmerizing. It was historic. Y'all have to watch the Isaiah Thomas and Magic Johnson show.
No, I don't think it was quite as mesmerizing what happened in the Marlins town hall last night, as Preacher Man will bring us from the Bible.
Yes, and as we appreciate From the Bible is brought to you by Dunn Waterproofing and Restoration. Get it done with Dunn. Call 770-4FLOODS, Dunn Waterproofing. So apparently there was a town hall meeting with Derek Jeter. With for season ticket holders of about 200 people. Now, apparently, this is the first of many talent hall meetings. Well, one of the fans who was there is Marlins man, whose real name is Lawrence Levy. Now, these are some of the outtakes as tweeted out by some of the reporters on hand. This is from Will Manso. Marlins man, now addressing Jeter, asks Jeter, "Do you know who I am?" Jeter says, "I've heard of you." Marlins man talks for four straight minutes, and Jeter looks confused, and when he's done, pauses and says, "I'll let you throw out the pitch with a 10-year plan. First pitch." So if you buy 10-year season tickets, I'll let you throw out the first pitch. That came to lots of cheers and laughters. Jeter adds, "I'm sure we'll talk later." Finally, Jeter also tells Marlins man, "I'm not going to cruise around in the Marlins car with you on South Beach to generate good PR."
Now, here's the thing. Marlins man, first of all, when you walk out and the first thing you say is, "Do you know who I am?" to Derek Jeter, that's pretty damn funny. I'm not going to lie to you. Second of all, Derek Jeter needs to realize Marlins man's actually been a season ticket holder of the Marlins since the inaugural season in 1993. He's probably one of the few people that will actually continue to purchase season tickets for the AA affiliate down there in Miami, because that's basically what they're going to be this year, is a AA team with a couple of major league pieces sprinkled in. They had the thing. You said there were how many people there? 200?
200.
Now, was it invitation only?
I'm assuming it's invitation only because at the end of the article it says, this is from the Associated Press, 200 ticket holders were at the event. This is just the first of a series of these meetings that will be happening. And Jeter answered questions for about an hour and a half.
For 200 people.
Uh-huh. 200 people.
It was an intimate gathering. There should be more than 200 people at that. That's an indication of how few people in South Florida give a darn about this
team.
That
is their season ticket base, is about 200.
You're right about that. If you want some early research material here at 12:45 during From the Bible, just type into a Google search, Marlins Man Women.
Yeah.
And the ladies that he strolls to these games with are epic. I've got a picture up right now. He is literally the most common-looking white dude with a beard ever. He must have long money.
We've done a story about him before where he got in trouble for bringing said women to a game and sitting behind a home plate because they were distracting said pitcher.
Didn't one of them expose cleavage or something like that? I was a big fan of that.
I told you, I saw Marlins man at Miami FSU.
Really? Did you talk to him?
Nah.
Was he surrounded by a bevy of hotties?
No, he was walking by himself. He actually was talking to police trying to maneuver onto the field, I believe. I don't know if it ever worked out. I had bigger things to do that day called get a win.
Bigger fish to fry?
Yeah, absolutely. Bigger fish.
All right, well, Dabo Sweeney has gone into Ohio and taken five-star commit Jason Carmen right out of Urban Meyer's backyard.
Bro.
Apparently, Dabo told Jason Carmen during his recruitment that Urban Meyer is on the back end of his career in terms of years left. It wasn't a major factor, according to Carmen, but it was an underlying one.
That's awesome. I mean, it's wrong. But that gives you an indication, you know this, John, and most of our listeners, that just gives you another indication of how brutal and cutthroat recruiting is. That is a bald-faced lie.
It is
nasty, lie.
It's dirty, it's everything that it's cracked up to be. Dabo Sweeney is one of the, and I'm saying this in a very respectful, he's one of the dirty players in the game right now. He's Ric Flair. He's going out and he's pulling kids and he's getting them to go to Clemson, South Carolina. Wash, rinse, repeat.
You know who else he is? He, to use the Hugh Douglas analogy of football players in the club trying to scoop up girls and basketball players in the club trying to scoop up girls. Hugh tells stories about, like, he'd be with somebody and it's on and popping and the whole thing, and in would stroll the Philadelphia 76ers or the Knicks or whoever, and said lady would be, oh, what's going on over there?
Tall.
Oh, they make a lot more money than you,
and
right?
Tall.
So that Dabo Swinney is the NBA to that analogy in terms of just walking in and, yep, you're the dude.
I shot my shots like I was in the NBA. I just couldn't play in the NBA.
I'd like to see what Urban Meyer has to say in response to this.
Nothing, because he lost the recruit.
He lost the recruit. It doesn't matter now.
You can still take your shot at Dabo Swinney, though.
Sure you can, but you already lost the recruit, so.
Damage is done.
Let's see. Charlie Villanueva was burgled the other night in Dallas. He came home to his pad and realized someone had been inside and stole a bunch of stuff, including his toilet.
Yeah, I saw this.
They stole his toilet.
They literally, in his bathroom, he tweets out a picture
and goes,
they stole my blank toilet.
Okay, guess what? I'm sure he called it his throne. And I don't know if you guys have gone to Home Depot and shopped for toilets or anywhere and shopped for toilets, but there are super duper high-end toilets, and then there are just regular old toilets. You know what I'm saying? So these burglars are probably like, yo, that's that toilet I've had my eye on, man.
Do you really want a used toilet?
I mean, you get a used toilet when you buy a house.
I mean, it's
you know,
true.
You clean it as best you can and all that. But no, why are you taking somebody's toilet?
Like, that's a lot of work as well. It's,
you gotta
unbolt
it. It's
not like when you see the jewelry and you just shove it in a bag.
I want to find out from Charlie how much that toilet cost, if it was diamond studded or anything like that. After all, he got paid.
All I know is he got home early, and he was still calling the cops like 4 hours later because nobody had shown up to take his report about the burglar in his house. He was not happy. He was all over Twitter. Barstool
Sports. I don't know what to say to that.
Say they have the NFL by the cojones. According to them, they jacked their slogan. Barstool Sports sells shirts that say Saturday are for the boys. And the NFL now has a T-shirt that says Sundays are for the boys.
Well, it's different. Mm. It's Saturday and Sunday. So sit the bleep down somewhere and continue with your rancid radio. John, over to you.
I'm looking up most expensive toilets. So, okay, you know what? If you have a diamond-encrusted toilet, you have too much money on your hands.
Charlie Villanueva does, in fact, have too much money.
I mean, I'm seeing some of these bathrooms that are literally, the entire bathroom is diamond-crusted.
At Charlie Villanueva's?
No. I'm just looking up most expensive toilets. It's ridiculous.
I'm just saying, like, you get what you pay for, man. You can buy a throne, or you can just get a toilet.
I just want a toilet. I just need somewhere to poo.
That's why you had to leave Connie's part of it early.
That is true.
Is it bad that's the hardest I've laughed all day?
You haven't even been listening. There's been a lot funnier stuff said than that.
It's been a funny show, but just to hear, I just need somewhere to poo.
It's just a common denominator. He just needs basic things. Yeah. You know, it's not food for flavor. It's just sustenance.
Dude, wet wipes and a place to sit down. I'm good to go.
And a charged phone.
I don't even need to charge.
All right, and your wet wipes.
Apparently, the UFC is in talks with Floyd Mayweather about a real deal in the octagon. According to Dana White, it's a realistic possibility. We're talking to Floyd about doing a deal with UFC. It's real. He was talking about boxing Conor McGregor. Was that real? Yeah. Have you heard Floyd talk about many things that aren't real? He usually tips his hand when he's in the media, and then that bleep ends up happening.
Floyd at UFC? Really? That's what we're talking about right now?
Yeah.
See,
I'm still looking up toilets. Oh, here we go. The Inax USA toilet for just $5,900 is built with motion sensitive detection. As you approach the toilet, the lid automatically opens. While doing your business, you can listen to your favorite tunes, enjoy the heated seat, and adjust lighting options.
I think I've seen that one of those commercials, those Kohler commercials where like the robots are standing around and the human walks in. Oh, go right ahead.
That is worthy of stealing. Burgled, as you said at the top of
the
story.
How about the Swarovski? What do you say? Swarovski studded toilet, $75,000. Moon River Art Park toilet, $750,000. Hang Feng Gold toilet cost $5 million. And the International Space Station toilet, which I don't think you can actually buy, cost $19 million.
I am officially not mad at those burglars for taking Charlie Villanueva's toilet.
Well, you kind of got to take the space station off the table on that one because they overcharge for everything in the government.
Yeah, I think the gold one's off the market, and this other one is, it looks like you're pooing in the park.
I mean, you get a hammer, that's going to cost you $100,000.
That is true.
I'll come dig a hole in your backyard for free.
I got holes back there anyway, so just find a spot. The dog does.
All right, this is for Rick today because we know he likes the ones with big eyes, so we're going to go with Sammy Draper today.
Sammy Draper.
Okay.
Sammy with a Y? Okay.
Wow.
Sammy Draper.
Normal spelling. This is weird. We'll see how this plays out. Hey, we'll take a break. We'll come back. Let's get back to some Falcons conversation. Matt Ryan's completed less than or 50% of his passes.
He's got an Eagles shirt on. I'm out.
All right. Well, Matt Ryan doesn't have an Eagles shirt on. 50% of his passes for three straight weeks. How concerned are you? And who's to blame? We break that down next. And more Sammy Draper on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
All right, so I don't think Charity's in her car yet from her noon to one workout. Sammy Draper for the win. Whoa. You want to talk about curves for days and weeks and months. Sammy Draper, right in my wheelhouse. All right, where was I? I got to get focused here, John. We're going to talk about Matt Ryan and some of his failures. You know what we're going to do? We're going to talk about it with the people at 404-741-0929. 404-741-0929. Matt Ryan has completed balls in the 50s for three consecutive weeks. Mm-hmm. He's had a completion percentage in the 50s three consecutive weeks. I don't know if that's ever happened in his entire NFL career. It's alarming. It's disturbing. But there's blame to go around. So we want to talk with y'all about it. Is Matt to blame? Or are the receivers to blame? Mm-hmm. Or, John, is Sark to blame?
Oh, boy.
Got to throw him in there.
Well, yeah.
Sark, sorry. But we do sports talk radio. And we just have to. We just have to throw you in there. I don't think it's a Sark problem. I think it's more of an execution problem. But anyway, what do you think, bro?
Well, before we do that, yeah, come on in. We're going to bring him on in studio. You're wondering.
What do we have, a very special guest?
Well, yes. There's a bottle of Tito's and a case of Red Bull. We just got a phone call. Now, mind you, a lot of times when the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line's up and running, we will, you know, go back and forth with listeners, and sometimes there's wagers made, and most of them are just in jest. But Sean Thompson gets a call, Street Underboss gets a call, and looks like I have won a little something from a wager earlier on.
Well, first of all, we have to have our receptionist do a better job of explaining, because she's like, you guys have a listener downstairs with a package. And I'm like,
And the first thing I said is, Paul, go to your car, like, immediately.
Or give me a flak jacket, please.
One of the others. Now, this is Rodney in studio, correct?
Yes, Rodney Hopkins.
Rodney, how are you today?
Rodney
doing
Hopkins.
Doing good, doing good.
What's
nice
up, Rodney?
Nice to meet you, Rick and John.
Nice to meet you as well.
Finally got to meet you. It's good to see you.
Now, we had a friendly wager, and I don't even remember the entire wager. I just know it had to do with a game that happened in November between the little team with the gold-painted helmets and the team with the
November 11th.
On the side of their helmets. So,
yes, sir.
You are a Notre Dame grad, fan,
big
all of
fan.
The
above. My mom went to high school with Daryl LaMonica.
Okay.
So growing up, she always talked about the Irish, so I became a big Irish fan.
Okay. So November 11th was not a good day for you.
No. That almost gave us three losses.
Mm-hmm.
That one loss almost gave us three.
It did.
Yes.
Now, what was our original wager?
It was going to be if the Irish did win, mm-hmm. we were going to have to take a picture. You'd have to wear my Notre Dame hat. Oh, you'd have to post it on the air.
Ooh. Boy, I am happy Notre Dame did not win that game, because my Miami brethren down in South Florida would not have felt too good about seeing me in a Notre Dame hat. But the other side was you have brought us a nice bottle of Tito's and Red Bull.
And it's the sugar-free, right?
Absolutely. That's why Cam was smiling. It's not. He's not squinting because of the shirt. He's just smiling because he sees the sugar-free and Tito's.
My eyes are no longer moist either. I'm moisture-free.
And I do pay up my bets. So.
Well, we appreciate it.
It took a little time, but
I'll be honest, I had sort of forgot about the bet. That, you know, losing the pit kind of eschewed all the good stuff that had happened throughout the regular season.
I was pulling for him after that, too. So, well.
How about this? And Sean Thompson in here with a nice gift bag for your troubles.
There we go.
But
thank you very much.
Tito's and sugar-free Red Bull.
What do you do during
here
the day?
In the Kia Studios? Like, that is an interesting sight.
Work on service equipment for fountain equipment.
Okay. Okay, so like in restaurants and stuff like that.
And stuff like that, sure do.
So you're out and about. What's your favorite part about Sports Radio 92.9 The Game?
Just love sports, all of it. I mean,
I've watched you ever since CSS, was it? Doing updates and stuff that, and then followed you right on. You and Mike Bell.
Okay.
Yeah. Two of my favorites.
Oh, well, thank you.
We appreciate you, Rick.
No, it's okay. It's okay. I appreciate these sort of add-on compliments. Really, no, that was cool.
So, Roddy, yeah, you and Mike, I've loved y'all since.
Well, we appreciate it. I got to ask, and we've been having a running debate today. Rick has got a stud shirt on as he's getting ready for the 92.9 The Game V103 WAOK company party that he'll represent our show. Is that a shirt that says this guy still got it? Is that something you would rock?
No, I'm t-shirts and blue jeans, but he's doing okay.
Am I pulling it off?
You can pull it off.
Oh, my man, Rodney, check is in the mail, Rodney.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You can pull it off.
That is
it's
awesome.
Either Notre Dame shirt and shorts year round. So
yeah, that's as you can see. I'm not much different. It's jeans, and I can wear a Miami shirt today because Terry Fox isn't here. Because when he's here, I've been told I'm not allowed to wear these anymore.
Watch this. Hey, Rodney, do you know what bird is on John's shirt?
I know it's the state bird. I don't know what it's actually called.
What if I told you it was an ibis? What if I told you it was Sebastian the ibis?
Is it
you
ibis?
You want to throw any shade? You're an Notre Dame guy. You want to throw any shade?
Nah, I can't do that 41 days, so I can't throw any shade. So.
Well, Rodney, thank you. Seriously,
yes,
this is awesome.
Yes, sir.
This is a great surprise. And
thank you for letting me be on the air.
Oh, anytime,
nice to meet you guys.
Thank you, Rodney.
Thank you
great
so
to
much.
Meet you, brother.
Very nice to meet you.
Merry
and
Christmas, man.
We'll get back to the conversation about Matt Ryan, but thank you very much. Very nice.
All right,
to meet
Rodney,
you.
Peace.
Dude, that's awesome.
Tito's and sugar-free rice. He shouldn't have.
No.
He shouldn't have.
I'll be honest, you know.
Yeah, he should have.
We talk back and forth on the text line, and, you know, we'll throw, I'll bet you this. And half the time, it's just running conversation, like whatever happens.
Look, I'll make a bet with anybody right now. I'll give you a 92.9 The Game t-shirt, but if I win, you got to pay my mortgage.
Boy, that's a tough one right there.
I'm just throwing it out there.
That is a tough one right there. John, I am tripping out right now.
Mm-hmm.
You remember the stat I gave you? I took this off of CBS, the drop passes with the Falcons and the Raiders and the 49ers. Well, entering Sunday's work, San Fran led the league in drops at 27. The Falcons were second at 25, and the Raiders were next at 24. I'm on what appears, John, to be an updated team leaderboard for receiving drops.
Mm-hmm.
And they gave San Fran one, so they're up to 28. They only gave the Falcons one drop. Now, yesterday, and I tracked these games, every play of the game, I determined that there were five drops in that football game.
I know Devontae had one. I assume that Julio throw that goes right through his hands is a drop as well. So that's at least two right off the top of my head.
But they only gave them one officially.
Okay.
And again, this is on, I think, Stats Inc. or something like that. It looks like a legitimate website. So I'm just saying, like, that goes to show that there's some judgment in terms of determining if it was actually a drop or if it just constituted as an incomplete pass. Bottom line is, the fact that your boy, I'm not trying to grind these Falcons to be overly harsh on him, but I saw five drops on Monday night. So regardless of the official scores, we are, John, the leader in drop passes or very near the leader in drop passes. And for that reason, based on this question and this conversation, Ryan completing passes in the 50s percentile the last three games. Unconscionable, probably unprecedented. Who's to blame? I say the receivers are more to blame than Matt Ryan. We've also seen, John, a bunch of, like, tipped, intercepted balls that, and trust me, I'm not saying there's no blame on Matt Ryan, okay? Just masses, calm down. I'm not saying there's no blame on Matt Ryan. But what I'm saying, we're playing the blame game here. I'm going to put more blame on our wide receivers. And, John, I'm going to hit you with an even better stat. How many drops do you think we had last year?
15.
Just guess.
15 total.
It's a good guess. 10.
And how many do we have now?
Well, this official or non-official, it says 26. But it was 25 entering the game Monday night, and I had five drops. So it's 30. So we've gone from 10, John, in 16 games to 30 in 14 games.
Mm.
That is an epic regression for your wide receiver group in terms of dropping passes. So for that reason, I'm going to say that Julio Jones, Mohamed Sanu, Taylor Gabriel, Austin Hooper, those guys are more to blame than Matt Ryan.
Let me do math here just real quickly. 292 completions Matt Ryan has so far this year. He has 11 interceptions, and at least four of those interceptions were balls that have ricocheted off somebody's hands. I believe the official count, though, is five. So if you add 292 plus the official stat right here, which is 26 drops for the Falcons, he would have 318 completions. Divide that by the, let's see, 318 by 448. I got to do the math here in a second. But I'll do the math here real quickly. His completion percentage would be up around 67, 68% with those 26 drops. He'd have at least four less interceptions, if not five more, because of those drops. Changes the entire perception of the season.
Are you with me?
Yeah.
Like, if we're playing the blame game, and again, I love all these guys. They're my boys. This is the only team that I give my true fandom to right now in all of sports. I'm telling you, it sounds idiotic, but it's true. The only team that I give my fandom fully to is these Falcons. I love these guys. And sometimes they drive me nuts, but I love these guys. So I'm not hating on anybody. Just pointing it out. We have a problem on our hands. Ryan has completed in the 50s three consecutive weeks. What's going on here? I think it's more about the drops than it is missed throws by Matt Ryan.
Here's the thing. If you add, and I'm doing the official math right now, if they catch the 26 balls that are deemed drops, Matt Ryan's completing 71% of his passes.
On the year?
On the year.
Whoa.
That takes him from 65.2 to 70.9.
Now, we will say this. There's going to be drops sure. in a season. And to your point, maybe 15 is an acceptable amount. 10 is lights out.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, let me go to the bottom of this list and see who leads the league in fewest drops. The LA Rams at 9 drops.
Yeah.
They lead the NFL in fewest drops right now.
Okay, so even let's just do a little math here. Even if you just go to 10 drops, so you add 16 more completions to Matt Ryan and do the math on that, he would be at 68.7%. You know what he completed last year? 69.9. He only had one other year in his career where he was over 68%. So for the times that Matt's played poorly, and we've chronicled what he's done poorly, he hasn't always got the help that he got a year ago.
There's no doubt about it. Let's take it to the streets, John. We got a holiday party coming up. I'm wearing a stud shirt. Let's talk to the people. Let's go to Brandon right now. Hey, Brandon, we're asking you and everybody else here on the Midday Show with Rick and John. Ryan has completed 50% of his passes in three consecutive games. Who's to blame?
I'm going to put it 50-50 on him and the receivers. I think the drops are killing him, but I think the drops are also trying to make him do a little too much. He's overthrown a lot of balls this year for what he usually overthrows, and I just think that the timing and the trust in his receivers is really giving him a problem, to where he's not sure if they can catch the ball at certain points. And tell Paul Bible I'm going to go back and steal that tag for him here in a minute. He'll know what you guys are talking about. Rise up.
He's in the back. He's laughing, Brandon. We'll find out what the inside joke is there. But I think there has been this entire year from a lot of these guys a pressing scenario where they're all trying to do too much. Instead of just doing what they did last year? They executed. If this play was called, your guard blocked, your tackle blocked, your fullback blocked, your running back blocked, and the play bust through the middle. If there was a pass play called, guys blocked, players caught balls. You're not having that as much this year. The best part, you're still winning games. The best part, you've yet to play your number one game. I'd love to save that till January, maybe February. Get to your best football then. The disturbing trend of all of this, though, is the fact that you're now 14 weeks into the season, 15 weeks, but 14 actual games played, and you're still questioning what is this football team.
They are who they are, John. They're an inconsistent team that's winning with the running game and defense. At least they're winning, okay? At least there's that. We're 9-5, not 5-9. Let's go to Adam and Gwinnett here. Hey, Adam, who's to blame for Matt Ryan completing in the 50 percentile for three straight weeks?
Hey, what's up, guys? Well, you know, really for the season, I think it's quote-unquote Coach Sark's fault. But I think as a fan base, we tend to forget our season from 2 years ago with Shanahan's first year. Statistically, the seasons line up pretty well, but the records don't show it. But I think we just need to be more patient. Maybe it takes a longer time to get an OC's system. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, we'll see how that is. It always does take a little bit more than 1 year. Now, Dirk Cutter, his first year as the OC in Atlanta, they go 13-3, and they go to the NFC Championship game, and Matt Ryan had a great year. It did take 2 years under Kyle Shanahan's system to get to the MVP level and just have this thing humming along at one of the best offensive systems in the league. You look in L.A., the Rams were horrible under Jeff Fisher and their staff, and in year one under Sean McVay, and Matt LaFleur, all of a sudden the offense is humming along and they're doing great. So I think it depends on the scenario, but there are a lot of outside factors that play into what's going on. Early in the year, we banged on Sark, and rightly so. I thought Sark called a damn good game on Monday night. Unfortunately, some of the times he called passes, the plays just weren't executed.
Okay. Every offensive coordinator in the NFL, everyone has been nitpicked and can be nitpicked in a game or two, in a play call or two. Every single one of them. Josh McDaniels, you know, Doug Peterson and his group up in Philly, Sean McVay and his group in L.A. Every single group has had issues with play calling to varying degrees. And so I want to come to the defense of Sark right here. First of all, when you talk to ball players, Arch, Randy, Hugh, all those guys, none of them have thrown Sark under the bus one time this year.
Nope.
It's all on the players and execution. So there's that. That's the ball player take. But, John, there were way more issues and dysfunctionality in year one under Mike Kyle Shanahan than there have been in year one under Steve Sarkisian. So to me, it's apples and oranges. Year one with Shanahan and year one with Sark. Apples and oranges.
If the execution,
going way better with Sark.
If the execution gets better, this team can get back to what they're doing, and we're going to need it on Sunday. We'll get more of your phone calls coming up next at 404-741-0929. To solve the Falcons' issues, is it simply Matt VP needs to return? We'll dissect that more on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
If you guys want to hop up on the poll, I'll let you guys go ahead and do that.
I just need somewhere to poo.
After the show, John. After the show. All right, we're back in the Kia Studios on a holiday party Wednesday. I've got the stud shirt to prove it. And M.O., we're going to get into this Matt Ryan conversation. I see Bain, Timothy, Cedric, Alvin, midday show with Rick and John. Let's check the poll, the aforementioned poll, and see what the masses are saying about my purple and orange paisley party shirt.
At Rick and John 929, you'll see the shirt, and either John's winking at you, I mean Rick's winking at you, or he's got something stuck in his eye, and Max Kellerman
it's a
creepy
wink
over his shoulder.
It's a wink.
Rick's party shirt. Like to love it, retweet to hate it. Right now you got 49 likes and 19 retweets, so
people
are liking it. A couple of last, let's see some of the new comments here. Gangster. You look like an extra from That 70s Show.
Nice. Good one.
Looks you like, and Ashton Kutcher.
Looks like Ricky Martin and John Denver got together and pooped out this shirt.
Wow. Oh. John Denver.
Give me a break.
Lose the top two buttons, grow a mustache, and give Ron Jeremy some competition.
That's a good one. And by the way, at the party, we will drop one button down.
Really?
At the party. Yeah.
Well, we appreciate you keeping that one button up right
well,
now.
I don't have chest hair anyway. It's just, you know, baby chest. But anyway, I'm going to drop I'll drop it down one button and sex it up a little bit for the party.
Just all right.
That could be an HR violation. Frida, get on that.
Let me just do it right now. We just want to see what it's going to look like.
All right.
Go ahead.
No, I don't.
I'm officially unbuttoning the top button.
Oh, it actually looks exactly the same.
It looks exact same.
So it's just a little looser. All right, screw it. I'm keeping it open.
Let it flow.
I don't have bulging, you know, man chest hairs, so we'll be good.
You could go Don Johnson and just, you know, unbutton it down to, like, belly button.
That was what Dave Archer was saying.
That's what I'm saying. Do
get some chains.
Get the Paco Rabanne look going, the little 5 o'clock shadow mustache. But I'll tell you, I don't trust the guy that has a mustache and no beard. You either have to have, like, a mustache and goatee, or you have to be clean shaven.
What about the Fu Manchu?
Boy, that makes me question you.
Nah, what about
means you want to party?
What about LeBron James with the beard but no mustache?
Yeah, that's kind of weird too. But never mind. I'm not going to take shots.
He's your guy.
He is.
You're contractually obliged not to. You're prohibited, John, from throwing shade on your guy.
So the latest about your shirt. This comes from our boy Brandon in Lindell. It says looks like something Zinner would wear.
Brandon, you're dead to me.
Nah, it's too loose.
No.
Yeah, you'd have to go at least.
Brandon, you're not dead to me. I love you, but you're dead to me.
And even with that one button unbuttoned, it's still too many buttons.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing. Because Brandon knows a little bit too much about Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. So well played, Brandon. Yeah. Your sarcasm works here.
But you're still
dead to me.
Take some calls. Matt Ryan, if he returns to MVP form, does that solve all of the problems about these close wins? We've chronicled the drop passes. We've kind of gone through the Steve Sarkisian thing. But let's go back to the phones, 404-741-0929. Alvin's in Atlanta. Alvin, you're next up on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Alvin, how you doing?
Oh, okay. I'm doing great. I'm doing great. How y'all doing?
Doing good.
Great.
Okay, yeah. To talk about Matt Ryan, the thing about this is that I lost confidence in Matt Ryan years ago. Remember when San Francisco came to Atlanta, we were one game away from the Super Bowl. The ball was on about the 3-yard line or something. And he was in the shotgun. The ball hit his hand, and he fumbled the ball. And that knocked us out of going to the Super Bowl that year. Every big game we have, he somehow have a way to blow it, you know, to not win it. And remember in the Super Bowl last year, he took a sack. Julio Jones made that great catch. You talking about a receiver fault. Receivers always making great catches. He need to hit them the time, and he need to hit them in stride. He be getting them hurt. The ball be coming late, behind or ahead, or they had to jump for the ball and stuff. You know, they rarely get hit in stride, so they can just keep moving.
Alvin, really appreciate the call.
I want Alvin to read me a nighttime story.
If I were year one here at 92.9 The Game, because this preacher man knows I've softened, mm-hmm. gotten soft in my old age. My response to Alvin would have been a little bit different, a little bit teethier. But Alvin, what I want to just say is, first of all, we're talking about drops this year. Right. Nobody's throwing anybody under the bus in terms of Sanu or Julio or whoever for last year. They dropped 10 balls in the regular season. Okay, this year it's a number somewhere around 30. Mm-hmm. Okay, and he's right. Has Matt Ryan been perfect? Nope. There have been some low throws, some throws too far out in front, some throws a little bit too high. But the bottom line is, this is a guy who's got 300-pound dudes looking to murder him. Okay, it's not an exact science. He's getting the ball in the area code, and these balls should be caught. And like we talked, there's blame to go around.
Yeah.
Matt Ryan in the 50s in completion percentage in three straight games, there's blame to go around. But we are playing the blame game. And to answer your question, John, if Matt Ryan returns to Matt VP form, does it solve the Falcons' problems? I'll say yes with a yeah, but he can play exceptional, flawless football. Mm-hmm. If cats are dropping balls, he can't return to MVP form, so it's a package deal.
It absolutely is. I want to go back to what Alvin just had to say for a moment. I get it. He dropped a snap back in 2013 in the NFC Championship game against San Francisco.
Let me ask you a question about that, though. I honestly can't remember. It's too many games, too long ago. You have a better memory than I do. Mm-hmm. Was that Matt's fault, or was it a snap that came before he wanted the snap?
No, the snap was a little low and to the right, and they were not at the 3-yard line. They were at about the 32, 33.
I want to say right inside
right
the 50,
goal,
right?
They were right in field goal mm-hmm, range. And right. He fumbled, and he tried to jump on it and didn't get it. And San Francisco got the ball. So it probably cost you a field goal. Okay, you end up losing the game by 4. You would have kicked the field goal at the end of the game. I get that. He took a sack last year that, quite frankly, he probably should have thrown away. But then they exacerbate the problem next with having a holding penalty. And then he throws a completion, and you end up being outside of field goal range, and you have to punt the ball. So, yeah, he's had his mistakes. Every quarterback in this league has made mistakes. You got to live with the good and the bad, and that's what we lived with a year ago, and that's what we're living with right now.
Let me just make this point. We can go back to the phone lines. I'm way madder at Cam Newton for making a business decision right in the Super Bowl and staring down a fumble right in front of him and not jumping on it when it's a one-possession game at the time. Mm-hmm. So if we want to compare MVPs who got to the Super Bowl and didn't get the job done, there's way more blame and culpability on Cam than there is on Matt.
Bang through some more. Let's go to Timothy in Ackworth. Timothy, how you doing this morning?
Doing well, guys. How are y'all doing?
Doing good.
Yep.
Okay, so as far as the overall drop number goes, I think that's 50-50. But here's what I think is important. So let me ask you a question. Would you say that one of the main criticisms of our previous coach was that he didn't value explosive plays, particularly on defense, enough?
Yes.
Okay, so explosive plays are important. So I think it is useful to look at the drops that were related to explosive plays. I'm thinking a tip that turns into a pick six. I'm thinking a wide open drop in the end zone against the Panthers. I'm thinking a drop on a quick slant against the Vikings where Julio was naked open and would have ran for 65 yards into the end zone. So I think in game-changing, season-changing, record-changing plays, I think that the blame has to be with the receivers, right? Because it seems like those explosive plays are not connecting and it's not Matt's fault.
Yeah.
Great call.
To go back to some of those, you're right. Julio normally makes those catches, and I'm not going to get on Julio Jones. He's arguably the best receiver in the NFL. Antonio Brown's had a better year this year, but you go over the body of work, they're right there, 1A and 1B. Drops are going to...
You know what I'm saying? First pass of the game. But apparently they didn't rule that a drop in the no. in the you know the scorebook, which is garbage. By the way, they don't have Austin Hooper with three drops mm-hmm. on this list I'm looking at right now. How many drops do you think Austin Hooper has?
Three or four.
A handful.
Yeah.
Anyway, so...
Let's go to Bane. He's done destroying Heinz Field, and he wants to call us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Bane.
Hey, what's going on, fellas? How are y'all?
Good.
Well, I just a comment on the offensive productivity. I think it's a lot simpler than what a lot of people are looking at. I think it's mainly the offensive line. I think the offensive line, with the exception of Alex Mack, is below average. I think Alex Mack makes the line an average line. And if you look at their scoring, they're 16th in the league, which is right there in the middle, because Matt Ryan doesn't have the time to go deep to Julio or Sanu or Gabriel or whoever, because the protection's not there. They're having to do a lot more elaborate run plays and trying to get Matt Ryan protection in certain ways where he's probably not comfortable. With Shanahan, at least he was rolling out and doing things like that. So in my opinion, I don't think it's so much on Matt Ryan. I mean, yeah, you got to drop balls. You got your receivers. But your offensive line has to protect people. Like you said earlier, like if he had time in the Super Bowl last year, that guy doesn't get to him. And he can make that throw to Julio, who was wide open for the touchdown against New England. And then right afterwards, you had an offensive line penalty. I think that's the biggest issue right now with Atlanta's production. Until their offensive line solidifies totally, they'll still just be mediocre, and they'll still have to just make do with what the defense gives them.
Hey, John, it's just a stat, but sometimes stats don't lie. Thank you very much for the call, sir. The Atlanta Falcons have allowed the second fewest sacks this year. Chargers lead with New Orleans at 17 sacks allowed. Then our beloved Atlanta Falcons, 18 sacks allowed all year. The next number is Jacksonville, Pittsburgh, Oakland with 21. In that way, we have one of the best O-lines in football.
There's some truth to what Bane was saying. First of all, I didn't know Bane sounded like that without a mask. You know, normally when he has the mask on, he sounds a little more villainous than what he did. But, Bane, we appreciate you calling us. Second part to that, there's truth to that, but sacks aren't always just the number. It's hurries, hits, you know, disruptions, batted balls, all of that stuff. The grand scheme for me, it has been a combination of everything. I'm not going to place blame just on Matt Ryan, but he's culpable in some sense. I'm not going to put it just on the receivers. But, yeah, they may have some drops. They also make some unbelievable catches that help keep the completion percentage up. And I'm not going to put it all on the offensive line. It has been a collective group, and you can throw Sark into the gumbo as well. It's been all of them right now. It just seems like every week this may be off, and the next week over here's off, and then the third week this is off, and we've yet to have it all come together and be nice and cohesive.
Tell me if you agree with this in terms of playing the blame game. The conversation here, Ryan has completed passes in the 50 percentile three consecutive weeks. Not the season, just three consecutive weeks. Mm-hmm. This is my ranking of the blame game. Number one, the receivers. Number two, Matt Ryan. Number three, the offensive line. And number four, Sark.
I'm giving them 25% each. As politically correct as I could possibly be, give them all some blame.
I'm okay with that.
At least you're
Are
not,
you coming to the party with me?
Signs pointed.
You coming to the party with me?
At least you're not wearing a shirt like Aldous Snow's character in Forgetting Sarah Marshall when he had the net shirt on.
Oh, that shirt was awesome.
And he was like, oh, God, not the shirt. Mark Owens, he's got a jersey on, which is awesome.
Coming up next, a read between the lines. DQ talks about playing New Orleans on a short week and the dogs throwing shade in front of a crowd last night. We'll explain. Read between the lines next on Sports Radio 99.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.